That three for Gordon Hayward is good. Good.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode. Smart tried to miss it on purpose, and he made it. It rattled in. So the Sixers are going to get a look here. Down by two with 2.4 to go here at the end of game five. Simmons holding it. Long touchdown pass. Knocked away. Picked off by Marcus Smart. He fires the ball into the air. It crashes to the ground as the Philadelphia 76ers season comes to an end. An instant classic of a series in a rivalry renewed. And the Boston Celtics have survived 4-1.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics and is brought to you by GE. GE is creating game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge, first of all, congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You have to be in a good mood today. If you're not, that's on you. Now, T.J. McConnell, annoying.
You know, he's annoying to the guys on the court. He's a feisty guy, but I give the kid a lot of credit. He's worked his way hard to make himself into an NBA player.
Yeah, there's.
I give him all that credit.
Oh, no, there's no question that he's outperforming what his perceived talent was. I just don't like that phony, complete, look at me, I'm super intense look that he has.
Well, I know he plays with great energy, and there's a lot to be learned from a lot of players that don't make it to the NBA. Guys that want to make it, and TJ's a good example of one way to make it.
Yeah, you agree with me.
What do you think about Brad Stevens not getting one vote from any of the other coaches for Coach of the Year yesterday?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think of how that happened, but the beauty of Brad, the authenticity of Brad, is that he doesn't care first. He wants it to be about the players. And he'd be embarrassed if he won it. And so he's probably more comfortable not winning Coach of the Year. And we love Brad. I mean, and I think Brad knows that all of us in the organization, his players, his owners, management, like all the people that are around him every day would have him than any other coach in the league. So when it comes down to it, the 30 coaches that vote, there's politics involved, and anyway, he's our Coach of the Year.
Do you know if you're allowed to vote for yourself?
I do not know that, no.
It's like a kid's all-star game.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out how Doc Rivers got that one vote this year, and I'm assuming he probably voted for himself, I'm thinking.
You know, I don't think so, but I don't know. I don't know how the voting process goes.
Okay.
It's certainly possible.
But I don't think that doesn't sound like Doc to me.
Do you think Brad Stevens voted for Doc Rivers just to troll him?
I don't know who Brad voted for. I have no idea.
Well, get on that.
All right. Well, what he's been doing has been exceptional.
We'll have an investigation tomorrow.
Please, Danny. I think you're
a special counsel.
Yeah, this is something that it's really not a great look for you not having this information.
Well, what Brad's been able to do has obviously been something very special, and it, you know, if people didn't believe it before. Now, there's a definite real conversation as to whether or not Brad Stevens is the best coach in the NBA. How do you know who is going to be successful under Brad Stevens when you're getting players for this roster? Is there a certain type of player you look for that fits Brad's style, or is it just as simple as players just seem to overachieve under Brad?
I think that Brad has coached a lot of different types of players in his short time here. I mean, he's had 60, 70 players run through here, and I think Brad's done really well with all of them. I think there are certain guys that both Brad and I like, and I think that we're figuring that out as the more time we spend together. But I think Brad is just really terrific at trying to identify what his players can do and what they can do best, and putting them in positions where they concede. But it's been great that a lot of players have played their best basketball under Brad.
Do you think Terry Rozier has this kind of playoff run under a different coach?
Hard to know. I think Brad would tell you that he would, and, you know, I would probably tell you that he would. I think that we saw a lot in Terry when we drafted him. We saw a lot in Terry in his first year in training camp against, you know, Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart. I mean, he was competing against those guys, and we came out of training camp with very, very high hopes of Terry at that time. He just hasn't had the opportunity because we've been, had really good players that have and experience that have played ahead of him. But I don't think that, neither Brad or I are too surprised by Terry. I mean, we're certainly happy for him, and you never know for sure. But we've seen a lot of signs of this possibility of Terry having this kind of an impact.
Danny, obviously, Jason Tatum had a great series. Jaylen Brown played really well last night. And Terry Rozier, as you just detailed, has been very good this postseason. Is it necessary for young players to play particularly well in these situations to become great players?
You know, probably not necessary this early to become great players. But it certainly has been fun and unexpected to me. I mean, for those guys to play well is one thing. But for them to win, you know, against other top players in the league is another thing. And there's a lot of young players that can go out there and put up numbers and have some impressive showings. But, you know, winning basketball games and winning playoff games is tough. And, for those guys to go out and contribute at such a level and then, you know, find ways to win has been very impressive.
Well, so now you've got the Eastern Conference Finals coming up where the Celtics are going to be taking on LeBron James. And on the roster, although not playing, you have Kyrie Irving. Is there, like, how much info can you get from an ex-teammate, a guy who has won a ring with LeBron James, as far as how to approach him, how to stop him, as well as Kevin Love, who he also played with as well? How much of that is something that could actually be put to good use, and how much is it that where it just doesn't matter because it's LeBron James?
You know, Kyrie will be, his brain will be picked for sure by Brad and the other coaches. I think that there's things to learn, but, you know, you still have to go out and stop them, and that's tough. LeBron is playing at a very, very high level right now, and so is Kevin Love. And both of those guys have been our nemesis. And on top of that, you know, we've played them a lot over the last couple of years. And, Korver's playing at a very high level right now also. But those two guys in particular, Kevin and LeBron, have given us fits. And those are two matchups that are very difficult for us. Kevin Love has been, you know, he in the Toronto series, he was, you know, spectacular again in the low post, which he wasn't in the Indiana series. They didn't utilize him there. But they have some weapons that are scary and guys that are very difficult to guard. And Kyrie can give us some information, but, you know, it's not brain surgery. I mean, there's a lot of things that we already know, and every fan already knows by watching them of what the things that we got to stop. It's easier said than done.
Brian Windhorst, who has followed LeBron James' career, had an article where he said LeBron James is one of the most efficient walkers on the court in the NBA. Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
No, I don't understand what that means.
No, okay, so here's the deal. Apparently people track the amount of times players walk
on the court during a game.
On the court during a game. Is that information?
You mean steps?
Yeah, No.
Not like traveling.
No. Yeah. I'm talking about without the ball, walking, not jogging or running at full speed. Is that even a statistic that you were aware of?
Yes, we call that resting on the court when you're walking and not running or sliding. But yeah, called resting. You don't ever see T.J. McConnell resting.
All right. Do you track that?
Yes, we do track that.
Oh, yeah, that's a disappointment.
There's cameras in every arena. We have a couple of PhDs that sit and analyze that data of how much guys are moving, how much they can tell you how many rebounds Al Horford got and how many times he was in position to get the rebound and got the ball, and how many times he got the ball when he wasn't in rebound position when the ball went up. I mean, there's a lot of things that we learned from those cameras.
Do you guys teach, like, when to walk and when to rest? I mean, because this article made it sound like he had made an art out of it, of knowing exactly when you walk down the court to conserve energy. Is that something that is taught by a coach or Brad Stevens to these guys?
No. We teach our guys to play harder and to run more. But, you know, listen, I think that every great player, and LeBron has the ball in his hands so much. He defends multiple positions. Every great player finds their moments to rest. And so I think that what Brian's probably trying to get across is that he is efficient and he knows when to sort of take his time. He knows when to give the ball to somebody else to bring it up the court. He knows when it's his time, you know, to get the ball in his hands and run up the court. You know, he does utilize his energy. You can't, I mean, it's exhausting if you have to create offense on every single possession. But LeBron, like James Harden, like Chris Paul, I think all those guys I would classify as very efficient players in that they, you know, pick their spots of when they go really hard and explosive to the rim and when they're just probing in a pick and roll to try to get the ball to someone else for a shot.
Okay, so a already depleted bench is even more so with Shane Larkin injured. Do you have any updates on his status?
I mean, Shane is not going to play this weekend. And we'll just take it week by week. But I don't know when he'll be back. We're not sure. We're just, you know, hoping for maybe toward the latter part of this series there's a chance, but we're not counting on it. We're counting and planning on going forward without Shane.
Okay, Danny, when you made...
I'm sorry, real quick. What exactly is wrong with him right now?
He has a strained shoulder, but it's very, very painful. And, you know, I just don't know if he can do it.
Danny, real quick about Marcus Morris. When you made the trade, Avery Bradley for Marcus Morris, did you get him in some part with this kind of series in mind?
Sure. I mean, we know that we have to go through Cleveland. We know that we need a lot of guys at that position to have to throw at a player like LeBron, not just LeBron, but, you know, the bigger guys, Kevin Durant, those kind of players. There's a lot of them around the league, Paul George. Marcus Morris is a versatile player that can defend those types of players.
All right, Danny, just because it's tradition, I'm starting to believe that it's good luck. I need to ask you, any chance Gordon Hayward returns for this round?
No.
Okay,
no
good.
Chance.
Nice talking. All right.
All right.
I have to do it now. Now I'm at the point where I believe it's truly good luck.
It's a ritual.
That we get a Gordon Hayward status update. Okay. So next time you come on, Danny, why don't you just at the very beginning just say, hey, Gordon Hayward's not going to be playing this series.
Okay, good idea.
All right.
Well, there is news that Chuck Nevitt's coming out of retirement and joining the team. They need
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans
on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm picking the Philadelphia 76ers to go all the way to the finals.
Philadelphia's just a better team.
Nothing you can do.
There's nothing they can do.
I am of the belief that the Philadelphia 76ers are the team to beat, and they are going to the finals.
Listen, the Sixers are a better team.
Ben Simmons is a superstar.
The Sixers might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
I believe that the Sixers are going to knock off LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals. Go Celtics!
Here comes
Smart just snapped the ball away to Tatum. Loads it ahead of Marcus Smart. Smart shovels it back to Tatum for a two-hand slam. Tatum racing with Simmons. Keeps it himself. Scores it off the window. What a foot race up the floor. Smart dribbles to the right. Attacks the paint. Throws out to Rozier. Up big. Step to his left on Covington. Oh! In the air. Got it.
Terry Rozier.
Scary Terry. Horford kick out to Jaylen Brown for three. Ben Simmons push pass for Embiid. Now short. Ball slapped away by Horford and Rozier's got it. Horford making plays. Rozier attacks the paint, hangs in the air. Finger roll off the window and in.
Now Horford coming through again.
Marcus Smart bounce pass. Here's Tatum. Tatum attacks the paint. Lobs it for Al Horford and throws it down with two hands.
The Sixers might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Right hand dribble gets away from Simmons. Attacks the paint and misses the layup. But Marcus Smart is there to make the play. Offensive rebound put back. We are tied at 109.
Bring that banner home, baby.
Rozier. Right hand dribble down to the corner. Bounce pass to Horford. Swung to Smart. Zips the entry. Tatum catches. Keeps it away from McConnell and scores off the window.
Ooh.
And Brett Brown does not want to use his last timeout until the ball comes across half court, and he will use it now with 18.8 to go. Marcus Smart making Marcus Smart plays.
Talk about the atmosphere tonight. It seemed pretty loud.
It was okay. Our fans are louder than that, so.
Your fans are louder?
Yeah.
Out of bounds off Embiid. Celtics ball.
Wow.
And Embiid crashes to the floor, his hands over his head, not believing the opportunity that just slipped through his fingers. Simmons holding it. Long touchdown pass. Knocked away. Picked off by Marcus Smart. He fires the ball into the air and crashes to the ground as the Philadelphia 76ers season comes to an end. An instant classic of a series in a rivalry renewed. And the Boston Celtics have survived 4-1.
I am of the belief that the Philadelphia 76ers are the team to beat, and they are going to the finals.
The Boston Celtics are back in the Eastern Conference Finals, and now it's on to the Kings.
So many people, after Gordon got hurt and Kyrie and Smart went down and Tice, nobody expected us to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So it just, continue to prove people wrong and, have fun while we're doing it.
The Sixers might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
It's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
You never feel like less of a man than the day an NHL team releases the injuries in which they were all playing with throughout the playoffs. And yesterday,
try being impotent in front of a prostitute.
That would be a bad day as well. Mm. But the list was definitely very extensive when it came to the Boston Bruins. We learned that Jake DeBrusk was revealed to have sprained the AC joint in his shoulder during the series against Tampa Bay Lightning. On top of that, Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron dealt both with groin injuries during the playoffs. Torrey Krug officially suffered a fractured ankle in the third period of Game 4 against Tampa. Zdeno Chara told reporters that he played through an upper body injury, and David Backes, meanwhile, says he's still feeling the effects of a concussion that he suffered from a hit by the Lightning's JT Miller in Game 5, but hopes to feel better with time. And on top of that, Patrice Bergeron, the one game that he was out during the playoffs, that was because he was suffering from concussion symptoms. That's pretty scary, obviously, because of his history.
I was reading Chara had a fractured index finger and a sore shoulder on the opposite side, and he played with both.
These are not the caliber of when they lost to the Blackhawks.
Well, that was the punctured lung series. I mean,
and
that's
also
when Patrice
the kidney
was
stone while on the ice. Recky.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was right. Recky had the kidney stone. Patrice had like one of his ribs had burst into his lung, and he played the entire game. He wasn't going to play Game 7.
Yeah, Recky passed a kidney stone on an off day. If I remember, he had it. He was in pain. Oh. Passed a kidney stone on an off day and came back and played the next day. Well, and as a guy who's gone through that, I find that utterly amazing.
Remember when Forsberg had to get his spleen removed?
Yes.
And Forsberg wasn't like super tough guy.
Peter Forsberg.
Yeah, he had to get his spleen removed.
Yes.
Yeah. He got whacked in the spleen and had to get it removed. And he played.
That's amazing.
So the stuff that these guys play through is pretty ridiculous. But there was one pretty interesting moment. So Brad Marchand, as we know, has been getting some criticism for his licking and the way he was acting during the playoffs, which, once again, I think is ridiculous because, as Fred and I both agree, it's a hell of a lot better than ramming a stick into someone's groin or doing some other dirty move like that. Who cares? Lick the guy.
It's funny.
I enjoy it too. And you know what? If they would have won that game, people would have thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
So Brad Marchand was asked about it yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
I think the biggest thing for me now is to really take a pretty hard look in the mirror and, you know, realize the actions, some of the things that I'm doing have much bigger consequences than I may ever think or really believe will come out of it. I've always been a pretty easygoing guy, and there's not a whole lot that phases me at all. So, you know, I think it's kind of gotten to the point where, you know, especially when the last thing I ever want to do is kind of bring the embarrassment and, you know, all my teammates and the organization that I did.
Yeah, so he basically says, I'm sorry for doing all that. However, I had read somewhere yesterday that somebody in management had sat down with him and basically told him to cut it out. And it was just like, all right, man.
Cam Neely sat him down and went, cut the crap.
You don't need to be doing this anymore.
Yeah. And I like how the league just threw a rule in there that he was going to get like a 10-minute.
No, yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah,
it's the Marchand rule.
Yeah. The Marchand rule.
From now on, that's what it's going to be called, the Marchand rule.
Because they didn't like the third time that he licked a guy.
Yeah.
You know, that was the straw that broke the back. Yeah. It looked so bad for the game, the way it got all that press attention. And yes, it was just, you know, it's a gentleman's game, and you just can't have that.
You know who also didn't like that? My fishing buddy. Jeremy Roenick. Let's take a listen.
I got to ask, Brad Marchand, little ball.
This is, by the way, a TMZ guy.
I got to ask, Brad Marchand, little ball of hate. How do you feel about him?
I was disgusted. I love Brad Marchand. I love the way he plays, but he's a superstar.
Yeah.
Superstars don't need to lick other people's faces.
You've never been like licked or kissed?
I've been kissed.
You've been kissed?
Matthew Barnaby.
Matthew Barnaby
kissed him. Yeah. We're actually friends now. Maybe it was a kiss. Licking is totally different than kissing.
Okay.
Totally disgusting.
But they're both the same end goal to, like, piss you off. Antagonize you.
That's what Brad Marchand does better than anybody, is it pisses people off, whether it's scoring goals or doing the crazy antics that he does.
Imagine going out to dinner with that guy. Would you like the soup?
Or no, TMZ people are awful. And by the way, way to land Jeremy Roenick. Jeremy Roenick embarrassing himself almost on a nightly basis. Dressing up in silly costumes and walking around.
Yeah, they're kind of making him the Rick Riley of the NHL broadcast.
It's lame. It's a really lame thing that's not working at all.
Rick Riley getting a new gig at The Athletic.
I know. It's awesome. So awesome that I'll never read something I've never read before.
The Rick Riley column.
Or The Athletic.
The Athletic's, it's actually a good publication.
Do you have to buy it?
Yes, and I have a membership.
No.
It's not expensive. Jeff Vows on it.
Yeah.
Jay King, who I like, writes for the Celtics.
Who cares?
I do. I like it. It's good.
I don't need that crap.
I got a free T-shirt with it, too, when I ordered.
Well, you should wear it every day.
I was going to wear it today, but I felt didn't live up to my standards of
I ain't paying for anything. I got it all up here. I don't need any jabroni telling me what to say. Ooh, what's happening now? You know, the Bruins, they took their stuff out of the locker room.
Yep.
I already knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on top of things.
We have some special guests coming up, by the way. And you know what? Today's a perfect day for it. It really is.
It really is.
It's because there are some rock stars who we saw the Prue. There was a picture that I saw Jim Murray retweet yesterday that they did an appearance at the Prue. The members of the Boston Uprising, the Overwatch League, the eSports, were at the Prue.
It's going to be fun because there's four of them and there's three available mics, and that means John's going to have to leave one.
No.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Damn it. Bastard.
But the Boston Uprising is a, they play the video game Overwatch.
I want to ask them about the new report that just came out about how the Red Sox are obsessed with Fortnite, and it just happens to be that David Price has carpal tunnel syndrome. That's the problem with his hand. That's what Alex Cora said. And there is now speculation that it's the massive amounts of video games that he's been playing has caused the carpal tunnel situation. So if there's anyone who's played a ton of video games, it's the guys we're going to be sitting next to in just a second. I want to find out whether or not they know of anybody or if they have ever done that from playing video games.
Well, Texas is to football as South Korea is to this team. A lot of people from South Korea.
Oh, okay. Did not know that.
Russia, South Korea, Russia, Canada, South Korea, Denmark, Ethiopia, Colleyville, Texas, South Korea, and then there's one guy that just says it's non-applicable. He's from nowhere. He's a nomad.
Is he Zorbot.
Here? Is he here today?
Zorbot from Space Sector 8.
We can ask him where he's from.
Not to disclose that is kind of strange.
There's no Young Jin. There is Dan Love. Stanislav, Messenger, Lucas, Kwan, Namju, Park, Sehun, Keller, Christian, Johannes, Miklas, Prince Connor.
Okay, all right, they have names.
Or Connor Prince. Right. Wold Yu. Well, I'm introducing the crew.
But there's only two of them coming in.
No, there's four of them coming in.
Oh, we have all four? Because we were told there were going to be two.
Yeah, there was one head, one head coach and one president of gaming along with the two players.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Okay, good.
All right, we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to be the center of attention. I wanted the glory. I wanted the fame. I wanted the pretty girls come up and say, hi, I see that you're good at centipede.
We are Toucher and Rich, and you've heard in Sean's updates over the last few weeks, you've heard about the Boston Uprising, their Overwatch League team. They're saying that these teams could get better ratings than Major League Baseball, and I guess with some demographics better than NBA.
Well, I mean, as you said, I know people who watch YouTube videos constantly trying to get pointers off these guys, trying to figure out how to do it and be, oh, sorry, you know what, you actually probably don't need headphones. Over there, we have four people in here because we would only use them if we were taking calls, but I think we're just going to be talking to you guys straight up, so you don't even need the headphones if you don't
want
to.
All right, so we have Chris Huck Laranger.
Close enough, right here.
Okay. Laranger. Yeah. He is the president of gaming for the Grav Group. We have Jackson Shake Kaplan.
Yep, that's me.
The assistant coach. We have Lucas Not E. Messner?
Meisner, okay.
It's Note, it's not Naughty.
It's Note? No, note. It's a capital E,
it's
however.
Capital E, but there's no space, so it's just Note.
All right,
note.
Right, yeah. Settle down. We have Connor.
See, I thought it was like you're Naughty.
Aves Prince.
Yes.
Very good. All right, so. When you are a professional gamer, how old are you guys, the guys that play?
I'm 19.
Okay.
23.
All right. So you're 19 years old. How much Overwatch did you play, or how many hours of video games did you play growing up?
Oh, God. Okay. it's probably close to like 10,000, maybe. Honestly, like, I know at least singular games I have 1,000 plus hours in. I know one game I have 3,000 hours in. It's a lot of time.
Okay, so like a
what
day.
What did your parents, were they neglectful?
They were pretty pissed, but usually I just like got home, did my homework as fast as I could, and then I just played as long as I could.
Now, was it a social thing because you could talk to other people and you make friends that way?
I mean, it's one side of it, I guess. I definitely made a lot of friends online, but I still went out with friends in real life, too.
No, right.
Can't really substitute for that.
Okay. And so you'd get home for school, and then how late would you stay up playing?
During elementary school, I actually had a set bedtime. So
right.
I had to be in bed by 10. So
10?
Yeah, 10.
Well, you look at you living in an anarchistic household. but you got to play. So you would finish your homework, and then you would play for how long?
Depends. If I got home at like 3 or 4, usually finished at like 5, 6, ate dinner, probably went from like minimum 7 to 10. In high school, it was a lot worse. It was like, I would do my homework like 30 minutes, didn't matter what it was. I would just like rush through it. And then it would be like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock till like 12 p.m., 2 a.m. maybe.
Wow. And you, did you have any idea that eventually that you could get paid?
Honestly, I had no idea. I think I kind of saw like streaming and trying to do some other things as like a potential career, but I don't think I ever like really looked at like professional gaming as a career until I like started getting signed and getting paid and stuff.
Because Fortnite is a game that the creators are geniuses because they have made my children addicted to it. So much so that I had to take everything away from them. It bothers me, the Fortnite. It's all the kids talk about. It's every conversation that we have. But now you can make money doing it.
Yeah, I would say it's a select few that make money from it. It's not your average guy, right? You have your stars that make good money from it. But the vast, vast majority, similar to traditional sports, don't make it.
Okay, so you guys play, obviously, more video games than anyone that I've ever met. Now, there's a story that just came out with the Boston Red Sox. There's a player by the name of David Price, and there's an article that subsequently just came out where that the Red Sox are apparently addicted to playing Fortnite right now. Is there a way you could possibly get carpal tunnel syndrome? Because that's what he has just been diagnosed with, at least by his the manager, Alex Cora, said that he has carpal tunnel syndrome. And now there's many articles coming out wondering if it's because of the video games that he has gotten carpal tunnel. Have you ever heard of that happening? Someone who has played so many video games that they get that? Is that something that you're aware of?
Well, there's definitely injuries in esports that come from repetitive play, but carpal tunnel is something, you know, that can happen in a lot of ways. So I don't think it's necessarily because he plays video games, but honestly,
but have you heard of people getting it from playing video games?
I mean, I think any injuries kind of come up. The carpal tunnel is one of them that has come up for professional video game players. Obviously, we do not get the same physical activity that traditional sports people do, but we're not really familiar with, I guess, that guy in his particular situation.
What's the worst injury someone's gotten? You said there's been plenty of injuries in esports. Like, what's the worst injury someone has gotten?
There's a lot of shoulder, wrist, like carpal tunnel could be one of them. It could be elbow. It's mostly, obviously, the upper part of the body.
Like throwing out a muscle from...
Yeah, well, there's because you're sitting fixed in a certain position for so long.
But you guys get those badass chairs, right? Like, you guys get, like, the super deluxe... Because I've seen those. Like, at the cyber cafes and stuff, or the gaming cafes. Like, these are not normal chairs that you guys sit in, right?
Yeah, I mean, some of the chairs are... They look really cool, but they're not that comfortable, and other ones are actually very, very comfortable.
And the ones at the facility, right? Those are Herman Miller's. I think those ones are probably better.
Yeah, and they look very basic, so it just really depends, right? Some of it's going to be marketing, some of it's just going to be something.
Okay, so you're the president of gaming for the Kraft Group. Has you ever sat down and gamed with Robert Kraft before?
No, I have not. I would cherish that day, though, if it did happen.
So he sunk all this money into it, and you've never seen him play a video game?
Well, I don't think he sunk all of his money. As far as I understand, he's bankrupt. A very wealthy man. Well, a very small portion of his money was sunk into this.
Decent amount, but I mean, he's down with like the hip-hop kid. You know, he's down with all the rappers. Gucci Mane, you saw him the other night. I mean, I got to think the next step is sitting down and playing some Overwatch with you guys.
I mean, I would look forward to that. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen.
Do you have his phone number?
Do I have his phone number?
Yeah.
I can't disclose that information.
Vasta. You have his phone number?
I do.
Well, you should see if he'll come and play some Fortnite with you guys. Not Fortnite, some Overwatch with you guys. I would pay to see that. If you could just have... I would actually watch an hour of Robert Kraft playing video games.
I'll see what I can do. I mean, we're supposed to go golfing soon, so.
Yeah.
Really?
No, he's being sarcastic. No, don't listen to him. No.
All right. No. Well, I don't know what's what. All right, so you guys are famous, huh? That you did something at the Prudential and there was like a million people there?
A million, close to. It was, I think it was something like 600 people that showed up. Overall, we were planning for 500 to 600. And then I think within like the first day, the signups were over 1,000, so we had to actually stop and close the signups.
Okay, you have these like long sessions where you just can't stop sometimes. What is the snack and drink of choice that you keep by your side? Keeps you going.
I'm
just a water type of guy. You know, I like to stay hydrated with the best of them. So, Lucas, do you have anything that's your, like, I'm just water?
I really just like plain popcorn. Just like without salt or butter or anything, just like... popcorn.
Okay.
All right. This is definitely not like the tabletop games.
No. Because then it's like, you know, Mountain Dew Code Red.
It's a Funyun situation.
Well, I mean, that's like there's even that gamer fuel. Like Mountain Dew has gamer fuel.
Yeah, it's just not some marketing ploy. It's actually specifically made.
Now, Jackson, why do they call you Shake? You got a nickname, Shake.
Yeah. So I was there was this cartoon that I was really into when I was younger, and the main character was just named Shake.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I stole
you know, I have a signed drawing by that by the creator.
My wife used to tell them what they could and could not put in their cartoons.
Really?
Yeah, she worked for Turner.
I thought you called you Shake because you were an alcoholic. You got the DT.
That's right. It's Monday morning.
Hey, it's Shake. Go get him his screwdriver.
And his friend Tweak.
That's right. All right. Well, so this is where can people? You guys did the garden, right? Where do you guys?
No, you did Agganis Arena.
Agganis
Arena, right? Isn't that where you guys have done a
no? No.
What was it? Agganis Arena.
Can we get a question,
we were not part of that. So there's different games which are kind of like different sports. So you have the NFL, NBA, etc. Esports is, you have Overwatch League, you have League of Legends, you have Fortnite, etc., etc.
Okay.
When will Fortnite stop being something that people play?
Tough question. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen for a good while, so buckle up. Get those kids disciplined.
I don't care for that. It's been a big pain in my ass.
Sure. The finals actually just got announced for Overwatch League, though. It'll be happening in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. So,
oh, cool.
Okay.
That'll be in 3 months. If not, overwatchleague.com, twitch.tv/Overwatch.
Are you guys good?
We're good. Okay. We're
second place, isn't that right?
We are currently second place in the season. First place is New York. We just lost to them in kind of like the stage mini playoff. So we're putting ourselves in good position for the playoffs, and hopefully we can get our revenge in the final championship. Well, I'll tell you
that,
New York.
Wallaco over here does Overwatch League updates, and people go nuts. There's definitely a segment of the audience that is very into the professional gaming. I'm sorry I got everyone's, except for Shake's,
name wrong.
Name wrong.
That's okay.
But yeah. Well, you're the very funny, witty, and engaging one. I'm sorry we didn't give you your own microphone, is what it says here. And Lucas, you are a breakout player, it says here. And they don't say too much about you because you have titles that everyone can understand. All right. So how do people get in touch, follow you guys again?
You can watch us on overwatchleague.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at Boston Uprising, or our other socials are very similar to that.
All right, guys. Congratulations on all the success, and we appreciate you coming in today.
Hey, it's a lot of fun. Thank you for having us.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I was not invited in the
Overwatch League. It's because you disrespect him by calling him the wrong name. That's why.
Yeah, not bad. Feels a little left out. I mean, everyone took a picture. Mm-hmm. I was invited in the picture.
All right. The light's right?
No. There's
leave them.
Okay. They get the show off in like a minute and a half.
Okay.
All right, is Zolak around?
Hardy? He was stalking the hallway, Zolak. He was.
Oh, Bertrand's here.
Well, there you have it.
Bertrand is in the building.
Okay.
Oh, good, good, good. A rare crossover with Bertrand.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
pick a microphone, any microphone.
All right.
All right. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
I'm standing there. I don't know where Zoe is, so I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, Zoe is a big fan of coming to the studio, like, at 9:53, and then never coming back.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of arriving in the building at, like, 10:01, so it's early for me.
Yes, I know.
Early today.
Yeah, I'm a big fan about getting here about 5 till.
Yeah.
The work's been done.
I like to walk in when Wallach's doing headlines.
Yes.
That's when I know I've perfectly timed my morning.
It's kind of a rush.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a certain thrill to it.
Like, if you go by Dunkin' Donuts and, like, you barely have enough time, you got to rely on the lady making everything quickly. There is a rush to that.
Yeah.
All right, what do you guys got going on today?
I think we're
going to
start with last night's Celtics win. We have Shaughnessy today. He delayed this week because he was in Philly. Then he went to New York for the Red Sox, and now he's back home.
So he's in heaven because these are his two sports, right? These are his two, certainly baseball.
Is Dan ever really in heaven?
He's been very positive about the Celtics game.
I've known Dan for years now. I don't know what makes the man truly happy.
Well, talking on an actual landline in the kitchen makes him happy.
That does.
He loves using the phone in the kitchen.
He's the only one who's
touched it in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And he'll have like paper, and he'll be like writing in a notebook,
yeah,
like a small notebook, and talking on the landline.
He loves old-fashioned things is what he likes. Yeah, that's what makes the man happy.
You know, he's got his fingers. He's got the ink on his fingers.
How do you think he went from Philly to New York?
Train.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. No,
of course.
No,
chance to ride the train. No. He's got to get on the Shaughnessy.
Oh, yeah. Anything that's old-fashioned. He's on a plane right now, though. Heading here.
My wife's sister commuted from Philadelphia to New York for a year every day.
That's actually not that bad.
It's well,
the 2 hours?
Yeah, I mean, but if as opposed to sitting in a car for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, if you live in Providence and you work here. City, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you sit in traffic for that long.
Jim
Lowe anyway.
Takes 2.5 hours to get here every day.
Jim, 2:40 today.
Yeah.
I can't for the life of me figure out why he doesn't sell his house.
He likes his house.
He's from there.
Where his house.
From. Home. Where all those people
you live
are,
in your house,
family,
man.
Everything.
Spend most of your time in your house.
Yeah, I know, but you can get a house that you like somewhere else.
Mm.
Maybe split the difference, then you can be with everyone you love.
Think how much more life you could live if you had like almost 3 extra hours every day to do what you wanted to do.
I heard this too. Yeah, move to Wellesley. It takes you half hour to move from one side on Route 16 to the other in Wellesley. It's just constant traffic all day. Like, I don't even want to sit in that.
You could be with Felger.
Just stick me somewhere. Mm. Yeah, it's not worth it.
All right.
Somebody sent, we were joking, just looking with the realtor. Somebody sent us this house from Westwood. Looks like it's 1972, like $1 million.
And like hasn't been touched.
Needs to be torn down.
And it's haunted.
Yeah.
Westwood was
we just replied the email.
LOL.
Lived there since day one.
Good luck. Good luck selling that.
Westwood was like the gold rush about 5 years ago. Everyone was moving to Westwood because everything was cheap. And I guess that's completely
LA
turned on 10.
109. Woo!
Yeah, Westwood's not an easy commute.
No.
It's just far enough away to be a pain in the ass.
Did you hear from your buddy Bledsoe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's getting on a flight.
Did you guys talk?
Yeah.
Zoe needs him out of town. Zoe's had enough, Drew.
Yeah?
Zoe's the star 90s
like
quarterback
him.
In town these days.
I like him.
Drew's not here.
Let me ask you this.
Zoe's the guy.
Bertrand, we had a conversation. Who do you think would get a bigger pop at the TD Garden? Drew Bledsoe standing up to get the crowd pumped or Scott Zolak?
Bledsoe.
Bledsoe.
Oh, God.
It's Bledsoe. Yeah. See, I think Zolak.
Yeah, I do, too.
Nah, because you get
I've seen Zolak at Patriots games get an entire stadium going nuts.
I'd get him go, put us both up there in a kissing cam. Suck face and place to go nuts.
If that's what you wish.
All right.
Absolutely.
I think that Bledsoe got way too much FaceTime on TV yesterday.
He was early. He got his own press conference.
Tegway played at the
101 sit-down.
Yeah. Wow, that's I can't wait to hear
hey,
that.
Get him on early edition.
Get him on early edition. Okay.
I did see Ben Simmons giving Chris Gasper the stink eye. I did see that before the game. That. Yeah, so Gorman and Gasper were talking during the pregame, and Ben Simmons was standing there behind him, and he just turned around and was just staring at Chris Gasper for like a good like 10 seconds, going like making this weird face.
Well, if did he have to get down on a knee?
It's like, you're a cutie.
He was standing. No, he was just giving him a
look at you down there.
How cute you are.
Why? Well, why did he do it? Was it because Gasper was talking about him?
You know what? I don't think at the time. The video that I saw.
Really loud like that. Ben Simmons really needs to step up. He hasn't stepped up in the first two games. He's been a flat out bust in the series.
I think CSN tweeted it out. So watch the video. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I think I watched it with the sound down. I was just going through my phone, but you see him like looking at Gasper and yeah, pull it up. See if he was talking about him, but you gave him the stink eye.
Listen, everyone knows who Chris Gasper is. I mean, Ben Simmons has probably been, he's been very critical of Ben Simmons. Every day he pops on the computer to see what.
Those on the floor shows, I've done them before. I hate them because I feel that if a player were to completely truck you and take you out, they'd be fully within their rights.
Oh, it happens all the time, too.
Like,
you
they'd
see
be
these
fully
guys
within their rights. It's their workspace. We're invading it, and if they were to take you out, that's it.
How many blooper videos have you seen of people getting a basketball to the side of the head while they're doing
like
reports?
Sitting up on a high stool, so you can't really, you're kind of vulnerable. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing Shaughnessy and your take on everything that happened last evening. That'll do it for us. Bye.